song there might be others. That's the first food with which I'm familiar. Sam, it's a time of the year that when they release movies for grown-ups. For the 11 months, I was interested to see Robert Altman, the director, was interviewed in the Times last week, and his new movie coming out called Ghostwood Park had a rating that restricts, I don't know what the letters are, but it restricts 16-year-olds and below from coming in. He said he wanted that on purpose because almost every movie made is for 14-year-old males. And he thinks it's... So what they do when it's to squeeze them in under Oscar and Golden Globe consideration, all movies that might be of interest to adults are released in December at the time when we're all busiest because of the holiday season. Right. And there are 34 movies opening and you can only get to two. What always interested me, though, is that when I was a kid, I wanted to see the movies that the grown-ups went to see also. I wanted to see From Here to Eternity and Place in the Sun. And I don't know why they assume that every 14-year-old is a moron or needs a chase or a... Anyway, I went to five movies this week to try to give listeners some idea of what the best of the lot was.
Five movies?
Yeah. I have no life. I go to the movies. So I went to movies that I thought might appeal to grown-ups and what you might be able to get in during the very crowded Christmas week. The best of the lot of the five movies I saw this week, which is playing in two theaters, is a foreign movie called No Man's Land, which got the, New York Critics Award for the best foreign movie. After I saw it, I read that. It's an excellent film that takes place during in Bosnia, mm. And two men are caught, from one Serbian and one Muslim, caught in a trench by accident in the same trench. And the two sides have a ceasefire, and they try to get the UN in to rescue the two men. And it's all about what happens. It's fascinating. Yeah, very interesting. And it's funny. And it's so different than the war movies that we see with the explosions all over the place. There are explosions, but it's really about what the hearts and minds of people and why they hate each other, and they don't know why when they see each other up close. Right. But they do hate each other. It's not one of these things where they suddenly have a great comradeship because they're in the trench. They really hate each other, and they don't know why. And I think you'll probably have a better chance of getting into that than Harry... Potter or The Lord of the Rings, neither of which I have seen. It's interesting. They had the Times had a listing of the top 10 grossing movies of the year. I've seen about 150 pictures this year. Not one was in the top 10 grossing. So that's a BAI infliction. Another movie which you might get into, which didn't have a big turnout when I saw it, an excellent movie from Australia called Lantana. Title would keep you away, wouldn't it? A lantana, as it turns out, is some sort of complicated shrubbery, which is really a metaphor. The movie is a mystery. There's a woman missing you see the body of a woman at the beginning. You don't know who it is. And then the story leads up, and it's a series of people whose romantic lives are interwoven with each other. A cop who's cheating on his wife and the woman and becomes friendly with the woman's husband, not knowing it's the husband of the woman. Neighbor people of the cop, aware of him having an adulterous affair.
No one's going to go see this thing, though.
Why?
You're giving
it... No, I'm not giving it away. I'm giving it... This is all in the first 5 minutes.
Oh, my God.
It's about relationships and the fragile nature of relationships between people. And it's called Lantana. The recognizable actors are Jeffrey Rush, who was in Shine, Barbara Hershey, and Anthony LaPaglia. Good picture. Yeah. I saw A Beautiful Mind, which has gotten great reviews. Russell Crowe gives a fine performance. It's about a Nobel Prize-winning physicist. It has nothing to do with his life. It is formula Hollywood biography. Because if you know anything about Joseph Nash's complicated life as a schizophrenic, it doesn't have all the heart-rendering aspects that this movie has.
Just in the previews, I feel like he's done this movie four times already.
Yeah, well, you've seen this picture before, but right. It got great reviews.
But with him, he just seems like...
He's good in it. Russell Crowe is very good in it. But it has, if you read anything about the man's life... You know what I kept thinking of, Sam, is I always remember Walter Strauss, who came to fortune out of prison, went to law school and then was appointed as a judge and became the first ex-convict as a judge. And a call was received after the papers did a story on Walter. He was getting overtures from film studios wanting to do a story on his life. And he asked me to go with him at his first meeting because he didn't know anything about show business. And I sat with Walter, ex-convict slash judge, and this man from the studio who said, first thing he said is, who was waiting for you when you come out of jail? Was your wife there? And Walter said, I didn't meet my wife till about 3 years later. Well, we got to get her at the gate when you came out. And he said, well, actually, David picked me up. I was the one that drove to Rahway to get him. And he said, doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
So he said, I met my wife 3 years later. And he said, what are you? And he said, what do you mean, what am I? He said, what race? Walter is a mix. He's black, he's Puerto Rican, he's Jewish. I used to say to him, you never know why people hate you. You have every label on you.
You have to pick.
You have to
pick.
And he said, well, are any of you white? Well, he said, I don't know. Guy didn't come out and say it, but I had the feeling he thought the movie might work better if Walter's white part was the picture rather than his black of Puerto Rican. It was not a very successful meeting. And afterwards, Walter said, I can't stand that. I don't want to be a part of this. And he never pursued it. Didn't want it. Wasn't interested. I thought of that while I was watching the movie A Beautiful Mind. I also saw Iris, a movie about the writer Iris Murdoch. And while the performances of the older Iris, played by Dame Judith Dench, is wonderful, and the young Kate Winslet, who you can see in the naked throughout the movie, both give good performances. It's Jim Broadbent as the older, the lady years husband, who gives the best performance. And then I saw The Royal Tenenbaums with Gene Hackman and Gwyneth Paltrow, which was a Shaggy Dog story that doesn't quite work for me. So I would say if you're going to the movies this week, I would start with, and I won't be held responsible if you don't agree with me, but No Man's Land and Lantana, you'll have the best chance of getting into those, and also you might find it more mature and satisfying. So I decided I was...
Even if you're 14.
When I was 14, I think 14-year-old kids like sophisticated
or shows. We should encourage them to,
well, they've been so nurtured into liking the explosion, the chase, and the inevitable boob that they think that it's not the boob as much as the gyrating pelvis,
right?
But I made a list of, I tried to list my 10 favorite movies. I could only come up with 6. Without any question, clearly the best movie I saw this year was a Mexican picture called Amores Perros. Did you see that?
Yeah.
It got nominated for an Academy Award last year, but wasn't released until February or March. Boy, was that a tough picture. But it came out raged and knowing that you had gone through something. And when it came out, a listener called me and said, I thought you didn't like violence. And I said, I don't like violence, especially when it's not justified.
Right.
But in this movie, you understood why there was violence, and you don't approve of it, but you know it exists. The second best movie of the year for me was Lumumba, which is a picture about Patrice Lumumba, the Congo activist who was slain. In the Bedroom was the best American movie I saw this year, which is just being released. Sissy Spacek, Tom Wilkerson, and Marisa Tomei. Then I put No Man's Land as number 4. And then an independent movie called Our Song I liked a lot, which was about three girls in Brooklyn from Crown Heights area. Mm. Three young black girls who were sort of a coming-of-age movie. And then an Iranian movie called The Circle, which is a series of vignettes about women who in Iran who were facing oppression because of their gender. So as you can see, none of these movies are big grossing pictures.
Well, you have a week, right? Before the end of the year.
Yeah, I might. Well, if I'm back.
You have to watch Ali and.
I want to see Ali, and I want to see. There's another one I want to see: The Shipping News, and. Well, there's a lot I want to see. There's a Stockard Channing picture that's out and playing that I'd like to see.
I like Stockard Channing.
So do I.
Yeah.
And there's a new Iranian movie that I'd like to see because the Iranian movies that come here seem to be pretty good. Here's Chet Baker. I thought we were going to have some night. Oh, and then we'll play Famous Fleeting after Chet Baker. Time for Fame is Fleeting. I'm going to give you the names of five people who were once in the news, and then you're going to try and guess who they are. And if you guess who they are, and you have to identify yourself, then you try and stump me with a Fame is Fleeting. Here's the five names, and I'm making it easy today because it's the holiday season. Carlotta Walls, Helmut Dantin, Fritzy Zivic, Robert Livingston, there's two answers on that one, and Dominique Swain. All right, Carlotta Walls, you call it 209-2900, by the way, then you identify yourself, and then you try and stump me. Carlotta Walls, Helmut Dantin, Fritzy Zivic, Robert Livingston, and Dominique Swain, 209-2900. Good morning. Hello?
Yeah, hello, David.
Yes.
This is Richard from Manhattan. How
yes,
are you?
Richard. Are you one of the people that... No, you didn't call
no,
me.
No, I've been trying to call you, but
okay.
We listen every Saturday.
Who do we know of the five?
I know Helmut Dantin. He's an actor.
Isn't that an easy one?
That's the easiest one.
And what kind of an actor was he?
He played... Didn't he play all these character roles, the German spy?
He was the Nazi. He was always the
right,
Nazi.
Right, right.
Crew cut and talk like this.
Right.
His real name was probably Aaron Ginsberg. All right, who do you have for me?
Evangeline, Evangeline Galidis.
Is that a tennis player?
No.
No.
The last name may be a little off. She was Governor Carey's girlfriend for a while.
Oh, yeah.
The real estate
and they always described her as redhead.
Yes, right.
When it said Carrie with redhead, and I said, why do they assume that's always a woman? The men have red hair too.
And I think they got married, and then she kind of faded off someplace.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, very good. You can take the whole week off.
Okay, David.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good morning. Hello?
Yes, this is Tunker from Queens.
Hi. What's your first name?
Tunker. Like Tunker Truck.
Okay. T-U-N-K-E-R?
T-O-N-K-A.
Tunker.
Like Tunker Truck.
Okay. Who do you know?
Fritzy Zivic.
Yeah. Who is he?
He tried to shoot Gary Coleman.
No. Oh, I thought you would guess him because you sound like... Because you're from Queens and I figured you'd know Fritzy Zivic.
Oh.
Okay, we'll try somebody else. Thanks anyway. Good morning. Hello? Your moment of... Hello there. Hello?
Fritzy Zivic was a famous fighter.
And you are... What's your name?
My name is Bernie. I write you all the time. For some reason, you don't like me, even though I'm a nice guy.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine why I wouldn't like you. You sound so nice.
Because, you know, I...
And wait. And...
I'm
the
show.
Wait.
Why there's no more tickets to the shows? Can you explain that to me?
I will.
You will.
Fritzy, I wish, because for years I've been listening to you.
Fritzy Zivic, tell us about him.
He was a fighter. I think he fought Graziano and a couple others.
He was a middleweight, right, back in the 40s and
50s. But seriously,
and seriously,
why
do you
are you not allowed to give tickets on the show? I don't understand that.
Stay tuned,
Bernie.
All right, I will.
Wait a second, do you have a famous...
Bobby Knight is really a nice guy.
And do you,
no one said he wasn't.
Do you have any famous leading for me?
He's gone.
Good morning. Hello.
I think that because it's Christmas, you should let me answer Helmut Dantin, too.
Okay.
Helmut Dantin played...
This is Claire from Queens,
Claire,
right?
Claire from Queens.
Getting to know the voices.
Right. He played the Nazi in all the movies, but didn't he play in the major one with Nuremberg?
Judgment at Nuremberg?
Judgment at Nuremberg.
Did they resurrect him for that? I don't know.
I think so. And he played with Betty Davis a couple of times. But I have two for you, and I think that you should really get these because they're right up your alley. Alicia Cook Jr. and Lee Patrick.
Well, Elijah Cook Jr.
Elijah.
Was always sweating, was always the rat in the movies. He always informed on everybody. He was a snitch. He was the clerk at the desk who saw them in the movie The Killing. He was involved with the gang, but he ratted everybody.
I have two movies.
Wait a second. Lee Patrick was always Shirley Temple's stepmother.
I didn't see her in that, but they were both together in a movie with either Philip Marlowe or Sam Spade and Humphrey Bogart.
Now, did Shirley Temple ever have both parents in a picture?
She had a guy tap dancing with her. But did you know that they both played together with Humphrey Bogart in The Maltese Falcon?
Yes, I did know that.
Thank you very much, David. Right. Have a happy Christmas,
you
and you
too.
And all your family.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. We're still trying to get Carlotta Walls or Fritzy or Robert Livingston or Dominique Swain.
Good morning, David. This is Toby from Manhattan.
Hi, Toby.
Dominique Swain, was she the one who played Lolita in the remake recently?
In the unreleased Lolita.
Yeah, Jeremy Irons was supposed to be Humbert.
He was, but they never let it go here because she was too young and she got a lot of it. There were lots of pictures of Dominique Swain all over the place. A prepubescent sex pot is how they described her.
Right.
So you triumphed at remembering. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I need a life, right?
Yeah, you should be ashamed. Do you have someone for me?
A.J. Weberman.
Don't have a clue.
Yeah, this is a guy. I think you may know this. In the early 70s, he was going through Bob Dylan's garbage trying to find...
I remember the case. I remember the man going through the garbage,
yeah,
but I didn't...
Yeah, that was the guy, A.J. Weberman, the whole thing and the voice about him.
And where is he today?
Do I know? Do I care? But he's
might be working for the Department of Sanitation.
He's in Dylan's band now.
We're now trying to guess Carlotta Walls and Robert Livingston. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning, David. It's Phil from Brooklyn, New Jersey. We haven't spoken in a while.
Hi, Phil.
Robert, well, you said there were two Robert. The one Robert Livingston that I know, wasn't he the Speaker of the House or the Republican Majority Leader?
For about 3 minutes.
He got one of these...
After Newt Gingrich was removed, he came on, and then they had a scandal about him, and he resigned before.
One of these holier-than-thou, obviously, who found everything wrong with Democratic morals and had a girlfriend or something like that.
Yes, Alan from Manhattan reminded me of him. He sends me these famous leading. By the way, I have to remind... Alan from Manhattan asked whatever happened to Senor Wences. Well, before they buried him, he died at the age of 101.
Right.
So do you have a famous reading for me?
Yes, I do, of course.
Baseball.
Well, you'll get this, though, I'm pretty sure. Ray Nobley.
Bullpen catcher for the Giants.
It's just too easy.
Back in the 50s or 40s, right?
Very good. Okay. I was going to say Mickey Whittick, but you would have gotten that also.
Second baseman. When I get real baseball buffs from my era,
right,
when we have the Giants, the
sure,
47 club that hit 221, we have to guess their numbers in hometown.
Oh, we can do that sometime.
Oh, God.
Do you know Bobby Thompson's... Bobby Thompson had two numbers.
23, wasn't he? I'm not a Giants fan, remember. I'm a Dodger fan, but...
Bobby Thompson had two numbers, and I don't know which number he had when he hit the home run. He had 23 and he had 19.
But yeah, he hit 23 when he hit that. 1951 was the best and worst year of my life. I met my wife in 1951, and that was the year, of course, of that terrible home run.
So which was the best part and which was the worst part?
No, she's listening. So. Well, the worst is obviously Bobby Thompson.
I was a freshman at the University of Denver and a Giant fan and so excited. And I was on the upper bunk of a you know, the beds, the bunk beds.
Yes.
And I had the radio pressed to my ear because there was no coaxial cable in Denver at the time. The radio went out the window. I ran around the campus. They thought I was out of my mind.
David, you have to have Rachmanis on the rest of us who are Dodger fans. To this day, 50 years later, I can't even talk about it for too long.
Wow.
Ira Glasser, who was the head of the American Civil Liberties Union, you could be with him on a panel of such deep importance. And if you thought you were losing a point with Ira, you just turned to him and say, who was on second base when Bobby Thompson was
gone? Oh, God.
And he would get so angry.
Well, you can't talk about it, but your wife is still there. You could give her a hug. And maybe you feel a little better.
Well, I do that anyway.
Sam is a healer.
I'm a healer.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate that.
All right.
And listen, happy holiday to you, Sam. And I guess you as well, David. It's holiday for all of us.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So we've got everybody but Carlotta Walls. Good morning. Hello?
I have a famous fleeting for you.
Okay. Who?
Goosey Day I Love.
Who?
Goosey Day I Love.
I don't know who that is.
He ran through the subway naked in 1923.
Okay. All right, Carlotta Walls. Anybody know who she is? No? Hello? Hello there.
Fortunately, I don't know who Carlotta Walls is, but A.J. Weberman is in jail now.
Is he?
Yes, he was busted for a whole lot of pot, I think pounds of pot. They said that he had been dealing for years and years and years.
Might have gotten it out of a garbage can.
Okay. Probably.
We got more information than we could ever want to know. Good morning. Anybody know who Carlotta Walls is?
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, you were mentioning Livingston. There's two of them, you said.
Yes.
I know the other one.
Who is the other one?
The one who gave President George Washington the oath of office.
Oh, then there's three. I was also thinking of Bob Livingston, who's a former human rights commissioner in New York City. The late Bob Livingston, whose mother was Molly Parnas, the fashion designer. But thank you. We now have three Bob Livingston.
I got one for you.
Okay.
Tracy Egan.
This is my dumb day. I don't know who Tracy Egan is.
You used to be the anchor person for ABC News in the 70s and 80s in New York.
I was out of town that year.
Oh.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to try one more person on Carlotta Walls. Good morning. Hello there.
I have one for you, Monroe, who calls BAI.
Who is... very clever. All right. It's Carlotta Walls was one of the young women... in 1957, who one of the African-American girls who was one of the six or seven students who integrated Central High School in Little Rock, Arkansas, when Eisenhower brought in the federal troops. And that's famous fleeting. Here is Ella Fitzgerald. with a Duke Ellington song called In My Solitude. Sam, there's an article in the Times this week that, well, first let me remind people that tonight at from 5 to 10, it's a potluck supper and then a satirical review called Undoing the Coup, which happened a year ago at WBAI, and you can hear and see Juan Gonzalez and Amy Goodman and Bernard White and Robert Knight and Mamie Rosenberg and Al Lewis, I'm sure, will be there. And it's from 5 to 10 tonight, first the food and then the humor. The humor may be in the food. It's at the Union Hall in 101 6th Avenue. It's that big Union Hall, SEIU 32BJ, the main hall, at Grand Street, north of Canal. You take the 109 train to Canal Street. If you want more information about it, call area code 646-230-9588. 646-230-9588. During the last few weeks, we've heard a lot of talk about John Ashcroft and his deciding that if you're not for us, you know, if you're critical or if you're the enemy. And then I read this article in the Times. Christmas break usually leaves the campus of California State University. He had a roaming roosters and janitors, but the school administrators have been busy all week fielding questions over an incident last week in which a commencement speaker was booed off the stage for calling for the protection of civil liberties in the government's response to terrorism. I've been a university president for 26 years, and I've never seen anything like what happened last Saturday, said Donald Girth, president of the university. Girth was on stage in front of a crowd of at least 10,000 graduates and guests on Saturday night when the speaker, Janice Besley Heffey, the president and publisher of the Sacramento Bee, raised a number of questions about the government response to terrorism. When Ms. Heffey urged that citizens safeguard their rights to free speech against unlawful detainment for a fair trial, she was loudly booed. When she wondered what would happen if racial profiling became routine, the audience cheered. The speech was halted as Dr. Girth urged the crowd to be civil. And the audience response seems to be in tune with what John Ashcroft, our attorney general, has said. But I find it difficult at BAI to be critical of the government's position when the gag rule is imposed on us here by Pacifica. Many of us read the report in last week's Thursday's New York Times indicating that there has been a settlement and or a compromise on the ongoing dispute between exile WBAI producers and Pacifica leadership. And you could have a discussion after reading that article in the Times about the, what, if you know what's really happening, you'll be distrustful of almost any other article you ever read in the New York Times. Anyway, I'm far from ready to celebrate about the compromise or the settlement. It's clear by the suspension of Bob Fass that Pacifica's appointed acolyte here deemed it necessary to flex a muscle and demonstrate who's in charge. And John McDonough and his fellow broadcasters on the Irish program will not be on today following last week's discussion about Pacifica and Bob Fass. They have been replaced by a special. Bernard White, our former program director, has insisted from the beginning, and it's taken me a long time to understand his wisdom and insight, that the issue is about local control at all levels. In the same way that Samori Marksman before him insisted WBAI must be managed at a local, as a locally operated community-sponsored station. And unless you follow the money, you might not understand what took place a year ago today when staff members were fired and station locks were changed in a midnight coup. Nearly 2 years ago, Pacifica took over all of the bank books of WBAI. All local bills and payments previously were handled out of New York City, here at WBAI, and they were shifted to Pacifica headquarters. The problem was increasingly there was no fiscal accountability. At the time of the Christmas coup last year, Pacifica was in firm financial shape, mostly as a result of brilliant fundraising at WBAI, spearheaded by the morning show hosts Amy Goodman and Bernard White, with help from many other quarters. In the past year, Pacifica has managed to accumulate a $3 million deficit, a result of careless, inexplicable spending, including inflated salaries, lavish travel spending, and astronomical costs for public relation firms and legal costs. And it was even suggested at a recent extraordinary display of hubris that WBAI have a special January fundraiser exclusively aimed at Pacifica's legal fees. Fortunately, staff members here in a burst of sanity rejected this notion. The board members at Pacifica, many recruited by the ruling forces at Pacifica, suddenly became concerned when they were alerted that as board members, they were fiscally and legally responsible for financial losses. Thus, the rash of resignations and talk of compromise came about. The landscape suddenly included discussion, compromise, where in the past principles and purpose were ignored. A $3 million deficit can do that. One aside and an irony was that after Amy Goodman was driven out of WBAI in Pacifica, literally driven out, the reason being one near pathological obsession on the part of the interim station manager, there was a hunger for Amy's prize-winning Democracy Now!, particularly after September 11th. Cable television stations and other FM stations quickly nabbed her. She might well have a larger listening audience after being hounded out of these studios. And WBAI lost a prize-winning program and an uncanny, tenacious on-air fundraiser when they needed one the most, as Pacifica plundered. I've been told that Amy is on her way back here now. Democracy Now! Will be returning. WBAI audiences were denied her audacious reporting when she had daily coverage of the International Conference on Racism in Durban, in South Africa, in mid-August. Instead, WBAI, or rather Pacifica, financed a staff person to go to South Africa to cover the conference. He returned in November with some tapes, prompting one wag to suggest that WBAI's slogan might well be last month's news next month. Whereas Amy reported on the Durban conference in August when it was taking place, BAI listeners heard about it in November. I slowly became familiar with the fiscal plight of WBAI and Pacifica because of my marginal fiscal involvement vis-a-vis the theater ticket service. Some quick background. The theater ticket service to listeners has been an extraordinary fundraiser for this station and began during a marathon drive nearly 20 years ago. I used my many years working in the theater to contact producers, general managers, and press agents to donate tickets to WBAI, which we offered to listeners in the same way that PBS does fundraising. A gift is made to the station and tickets are awarded to the contributor. A listener contacted me and said that he would fund the theater ticket service, which he heard during the fundraising drive, if it could be professionalized and institutionalized. I met with him, helped him to prepare a proposal which we presented to the general manager nearly 18 years ago. The donator presented WBAI with a $25,000 gift aimed at professionalizing and institutionalizing the theater ticket service as a permanent year-round fundraising operation. It's a gift which brought millions in return to this station, probably one of the most cost-effective fundraising concepts in the history of nonprofit organizations. When he presented the grant, there were a few conditions, none of which were perceived as unreasonable. In addition to professionalizing the operation, he wanted a separate bank account for the theater tickets to assure that all monthly expenses would be met. All money after expenses could be transferred to WBAI's main account. It was never a problem for 17 years, and each month, $10,000 or $12,000, and in some months, $18,000 or $20,000 would be transferred. It was a golden goose for WBAI. When Pacifica took over the WBAI bank books 2 years ago, they put all the theater ticket money into the same general account. So in 2001, when Pacifica losses started to mount, bills as small as $40 for the theater ticket service went unpaid. WBAI could not pay its bills. Everything was now out of Pacifica headquarters in California and then later in Washington. So bills for the theater ticket account went unpaid from July through mid-December of this year. The irony of it is that the total amount was so small that it could have been wiped out in the last 3 weeks when the theater ticket service was halted. The last 3 weeks, with no theater tickets offered to listeners, could have erased 6 months' expenses. And that's the type of fiscal folly that exists, and that's only the blip on the screen of malfeasance at Pacifica. There are others. I've been informed that the recently departed interim manager has been awarded 4 months' severance pay. A thought you can consider only when you learn that Bernard White was dismissed by Midnight Messenger a year ago after 20 years of service and did not receive a penny of severance pay, and his personal belongings were kept here under vindictive lock and key for 8 months. So what is the path out of this maze? I see no victory until Bernard White, Amy Goodman, Robert Knight, Janice K. Bryant, Valerie Van Isla, Al Lewis, Dred Scott, Anthony Sloan, Mamie Rosenberg, Bob Fass, and many others are reinstated, and not until Pacifica allows decisions to be made at a local level with accountability to the Pacifica board, and not until the station manager is chosen as at a local level, not thrust at us from Pacifica, but first and foremost, not until there is a financial accountability to you, the listeners, so that when you are asked once again to pledge your dollars, that you know that the money isn't going into luxury hotel suites for Pacifica staff members, or that a public relations firm has not billed us for $230,000, or that a security system has been installed for $40,000, or that astronomical legal fees are being accumulated. Accountability is the key word. When WBAI had the bank books, they were accountable to Pacifica. When Pacifica took the bank books, they were accountable to no one. The deficit has to be cleaned up, and the reality is that the listeners are going to be asked to pay for that deficit. And I suspect that many of you will agree to that on the condition that once the debt is paid, it will be assured of fiscal responsibility and accountability, as well as on-air persons who reflect the many communities of the metropolitan New York City area, and not some convoluted scheme of people from Pacifica headquarters with their hidden agendas. There must be an effort to raise the level of salaries for staff members, but that shouldn't be exclusive to Pacifica's top brass. There is no decent settlement as long as Pacifica tells us what to do and as long as the bank books are in Washington. So follow the money, stay strong, and pay close attention. And now, having said all of that, you will discover how the censorship and gag rules and fear of dissent works here at listener-sponsored Pacifica, WBAI.
My father needs money, my uncle needs money, my mother is thin as a reed. But me, I'm sitting pretty. I've got all the money I need. My dearest friend Fritzy is out of his wits. He asks for starving children to feed. But me, I'm sitting pretty. I've got all the money I need. I know my deep cousin Eric is as credit as hysterical, and also cousin Emma and the Paul's mother's Emma, and my sister and my brother took the hawking one another too. But I put some talent in, filled up my balance. Even my bankers agree. That's me. I'm sitting pretty. I've got all the money I My little cousin Eric is as credit as hysterical, and also cousin Emma and the Paul's mother's Emma, and my sister and my brother took the hawking one another too. But I'm not an income book. I put the income you put in the bank to our crew. Yes, me, I'm sitting pretty. Life is pretty, sitting with pretty, sitting with pretty.
I don't know why the phones are ringing, Sam.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of just your middle name is Integrity, and you're a number of people's heroes, and I think that...
And my middle name is I Won't Be Here Next Week.
Well, I let's you know, as a, as, well, I one comment.
Go ahead.
As someone who's been here, I don't know, a little while now. A
couple of months. And a long-time listener.
Very, yes, definitely long-time listeners, even though I'm considered young to many of the folks
around this place.
But I CDC, for me, these things are opportunities, and I hope Pacifica, whoever, see, I'm so naive to many of the things that are going on, that they see this as an opportunity to not react, but respond. And,
Sam, it took me such a long time to clearing in the woods, Mm-hmm. Even at the time of the coup, I wasn't sure of everybody's motives, right. And Bernard kept saying to me, it must be locally run, and I thought that was a mantra, but I slowly listened and learned.
And, you know, I met burn out a few times and in his studio.
In his very laid-back manner. He's very wise.
And the people who support the station and the people who... And I just answered about, I don't know, 12 calls. And just people who came down to the garage, Urban Garage Sale, and the number of them said that they had the opportunity to meet you, and there should be this award. And, you know, it's just...
Well, maybe we'll see them tonight.
Yes. David can't deal with this stuff, as you can tell.
I can deal with it. I think it's important.
No, it's not to take over. It's been... I'm looking at the clock.
It was very traumatic for me to do it because I recognized that it might, with the gag rule, I have violated the gag rule, and I have spent 30 years. My adult life has had two great passions, WBAI and the Fortune Society, and I know by saying what I just said that I will, be eliminating my involvement with WBAI.
Let's hope this is the turn.
And that's very traumatic for me.
Yeah.
But there becomes a point where you have to say what has to be said, and you have to work your way through it. I'm going to play some Johnny Hartman and John Coltrane, and then we'll talk some more.
They say falling in love is wonderful. So wonderful. So they say. The thing that's known as romance is wonderful, so wonderful. So they tell me, I can't recall. I know I never read it. I only know they tell me that love is grand and if there's a moon up above. It's wonderful, wonderful in every way. So they say. to hold your girl in your arms is wonderful.
Something I did want to talk to you about, Sam, and that was that this week in New Jersey, the legislators are pushing for something with parental, what?
I'm drained.
From the calls coming in.
Yeah.
The New Jersey legislators pushing for parental consent on abortion for children under 18, whether they're lower to 16. And I thought how often, from our experience at Fortune Society, working with young girls, how many couldn't either have been abandoned by their parents or ran away from their parents or somebody in the family is responsible for their pregnancy. What a naive notion or a limited notion of legislators to be suggesting that parental approval, they must have think that every family is like the Huxtables or Leave It to Beaver and that daddy and mommy are sitting there with love and wisdom and not part of the problem of the youngster who might be impregnated. And that, I don't know how you can even begin to legislate that if a child is pregnant and wants an abortion. It's not easy. It's not an easy decision, but to even deal with a kid who's pregnant. But if she doesn't want the child. But the legislature doesn't seem to be in touch with the reality of what's happening with young people.
I'm going to do my counseling thing.
Yeah.
And when I train counselors and I tell them, when you didn't get something and a person is talking to you, you should say, I missed something. So I need to tell you that I missed the beginning of that because I'm a little overwhelmed with the calls and many people crying. And so can you just say that? I'm sorry.
I'm saying that in Trenton, the New Jersey legislators. Sam's been taking calls from listeners after I gave my little spiel. The New Jersey legislators are now debating whether they should lower the age of from 18 to 16 and have parental approval for a divorce.
Okay.
I just wanted, I said what I had to say on it. You said many of these people, should we take calls?
Well, there's a couple
of
things. Well, probably,
You've been taking a lot of calls.
Yeah, and I think we should, mostly because, a number of reasons, but people are saying things just really sad, hurt, scared. And I think those feelings are important. They're important to put on the air and let people
All right, well, we'll take a couple.
We'll take a couple, and then, I have to run down, and I don't want to miss anything. But
you have to run down to put a thing in your car.
In the meter, yeah. I can't afford a $55 ticket. But if you want to give this a shot.
All right, turn the phone thing around. All right, we'll take a couple of calls and see if it's good radio.
Yeah.
Good morning. Hello?
Good morning.
Yes, I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
No.
I mean, how do you know you can't hear me?
Well, it's very muffled. Yeah. Are you speaking from a cell phone?
No, I'm not. I'm speaking from an old, long cord phone.
We're having trouble hearing it.
Just wanted to know.
Yes.
Was the under investigation for financial irregularities?
We're not understanding you. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Good morning. Hello.
David, good morning.
Yes.
Jerome.
Yeah.
I was listening to what you said, and, from the time that this thing began, I don't want to take any sides or anything. I don't know who's correct and who is wrong. The only thing that I wanted to relate to everybody was that my feelings was kind of hurt because we as listeners, we have trusted everybody that's in that radio station can bring us the best journalism, the best communications of what's going on around the world to us, and I feel like we as listeners have been violated. But I'm not angry about that. What I am angry and I'm disappointed in is that I feel that all of you people there are great people. All of you there are very knowledgeable people and have a lot to offer everybody that listens, whether it's that day that they are listening or it's 10 years later. Sometime along in life, you're going to hear things and learn things that are going to be beneficial to you sometime in your life, and you have to be able to grasp it when it's there.
Okay, thank you very much.
That you guys can get together and really pull. And
that's the hope.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you very much. We're going to ask people to be. Thank you. We're going to ask people to be a little brief. Every line is ringing, so if you
Hello.
Can be brief, we appreciate it.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Well said, David.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was very good. I do just want to mention, I think there was really a very shameful sort of chapter about a month and a half ago. I think when you had that, they had that two-day absolute hate radio, essentially hate Jews, hate Israel radio, with Ralph Schulman's, really off-the-wall pronouncements, particularly about...
As you know, this is Adam, is it not?
Yes, it
is. As you know, I commented that I had not heard the tapes, and I was... And I questioned fundraising off of it, and I was taken to task for even bringing that
up. Okay, but I think others can illuminate what really took place.
Well, yeah, but
not now. Thanks, Adam.
Good morning.
Hello, hi.
Hi.
David, you just said what I've been saying to people for the past year. You said it better than I would have said it, and that's all I have to say about the subject.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good morning. Hello.
Good morning. Oh, I'm sorry, I have to turn my radio down.
Okay. That's the first rule of WBA.
Thank you, David.
You are? Who are you?
Oh, this is Elaine. I'm from Manhattan, and I appreciate what you have to say, but I'm almost sorry that you said it because I'm so afraid of what's going to happen.
Well, it's a choice I had to make.
I know, but... and the other thing I wanted to ask, could you please reiterate that phone number for the event tonight? Because I think it might be also an important fundraiser for people who wanted to help. I'm very disappointed with what happened in that agreement. Very, very disappointed.
It's in the flyer. Yeah, please come down. I think it's David.
Where is the flyer?
Everyone
646-239-9588.
646-239-9588.
9588. Because I heard it was at 101 Avenue of the Americas.
Yes.
It is.
That's at 6th Avenue. It's the big union hall right north of Canal Street. And
okay.
It's a potluck supper, and then there's satirical review.
Okay, I know
Thank
where
you.
It is.
Okay.
See you
Thank
later.
You. Bye-bye.
See you.
Bye. Good morning. A couple more calls. How are you?
Oh, hi. Hi. Where it is down. My name's Nora. I'm from Portchester. I'm speaking as one of the fired listeners from Pacific and one of the no longer welcome listeners. And, David, I really want to thank you for that statement. It was so clear, really said it all, like the other woman said, better than I could have said it. I hope you're still there next week.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good morning. Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Yes.
Now that you have won the battle, are you going to bring back those mediocre programs before you trees took over?
Thank you. You have expressed yourself. Hello.
Everyone's allowed to say something.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
David, I want to thank you. And as a 20-year supporter of the station, I want to tell you that one thing we have learned from BAI is to recognize the truth when we hear it.
Sure.
And I really appreciate what you've done. And I hope you enjoy the holidays. And I obviously know my direction right now. I try and hold an open mind. And I don't have a computer. And I don't get
Neither do I.
Out to places. And I've really been sort of just hanging on, just waiting, sitting tight. I'm a supporter of the station, and I will support the station. But I realize now the direction it's been in, and I certainly appreciate what you've done. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. I want to play a song that might express what my feelings are right now.
Die a little. Every time we say goodbye, I wonder why.
Carly Simon with a song by, who wrote Every Time We Say Goodnight? Where's my sheet? People keep calling. They want to know the phone number for the event tonight. It's area code 646, which is Manhattan, 230-9588. And the phones keep ringing, so we'll take a couple of more calls. Good morning. Hello.
Hi, David.
Hi.
I guess my first reaction is, like, you've been such a part of everyone's lives on Saturday morning, and it's just, it can't be possible. You can't be leaving.
Well, I'm not, that's not my decision. I certainly will come back.